Our prayer is actually as a family of saints. Paul the Apostle called those called into Christ Jesus the holy ones. We, before you, Lord, by your grace and mercy, are called the holy ones, made righteous, given robes of righteousness by your generosity, dipped in the blood, your own blood that you shed. And we stand together as a family before you, and we intercede and we bless this wonderful, wonderful family. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving them to us, to this church family. We thank you for the example they have been to us. We thank you, Lord, for the love and the compassion and generosity that's flowed from you, that's come through them to us. I thank you, Lord, for the friendship, the heart of friendship that you've given to them, and the heart of the Father that Jose has grown to have out of brokenness and out of his own hunger. You've used that. You've used that in a powerful way. We've benefited from it. And now, Lord, we give them back to you. We give them back to the Church of God in Idaho who needs this couple. We give them to every wandering soul who needs to see and feel your compassion through them. We give them, Lord, into your care, that you would fully and completely accomplish everything that you intend for them, which we believe is really, really good.
Although this feels really sad and our hearts are broken that we're losing our friends, thy will be done, Lord. And I know that there are so many people that Jose and Vicky are going to touch and bless in Idaho, Lord. And so we send them. Mm-hmm. Protect them and keep them, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for Skype. Because they ain't getting off that easy. We love you, Lord, and we praise you that you blessed us with such hearts for you, Lord, that taught us to have a heart for you, that blessed us with the Father's heart, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Jose, for giving me a brother in Christ who respected me and loved me and taught me about who you are and my identity in you, Lord. And thank you for Vicky, Lord, for showing me what it's like to be a godly wife. I thank you for them, Lord. They blessed our lives and we send them with love.
Father, we thank you for our friends. And we know this is not goodbye. This is just so long because we'll see them again. Protect Vicky and Becca on the trip.
Yes, God.
Keep Jose awake on his drive. And let him not screw up his last message.
Keeping it real.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, talk. Thank you, Lord, for this family, Lord, who we love, Lord. We thank you for their friendship, Lord. The friendship, Lord, that that so many of us have partaken of and have been blessed by, Lord. And we just, as they go now, Lord, as they go, we ask, God, for your grace to be upon them, Lord. Yes. Lord, when they sit in that car tomorrow morning, Lord, and so many years of friendships and relationships in the back mirror, in the back mirror, Lord, and they face an unknown place that they've never been to, they've never lived at, Lord. We just ask, God, that you would guide them every way, Lord, that they would see your light ahead of them, Lord, each step of the way, Lord, towards Idaho, Lord, that you have orchestrated so much for their life there already, Lord, that they would see that, God. We ask, God, for your blessing over them, Lord. I just thank you for the friendship, Lord. I thank you for the friendship that I've had with Jose, Lord, and the early morning coffee and yelling at each other and all those things. I just thank you for that, Lord God. Just thank you for what all that has meant, Lord, in our lives, Lord God, that we become deeper and deeper friends, Lord. Just bless them, Lord, as they go. Thank you.
I just feel like the Lord is saying to bless your feet. Yes. As you both walk into new territory, into a new land, I pray the Lord just prosper you and grow you, and that every step you take in this new place would be light for the kingdom, spreading of his kingdom and his power and his love. You walk by faith, not by sight. And let these beautiful feet of a beautiful woman and a man go. And do your work, Lord. Bring glory to your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Jose and Vicky. The impressions and impact they've left on our lives. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Father God, I just want to thank you for, the beautiful family. Vicky, Jose, and Becca. We have been, I thank you so much that you have let them spend so much time with us here. But I know that you knew this day was going to happen before time even began. And you had prepared them to go. And you also have a plan for what they leave behind and what's going to happen here. I just have anticipation and joy to see what's going to happen in Idaho and what's going to happen here in Oceanside, as we stand on the corner here as your representatives in downtown Oceanside. I thank you, Lord.
Jose and I have been friends for a long time. And even though I knew this was coming, I've known it for a while, but the reality of it is not an easy thing. We've talked each other through some hard stuff. We prayed for each other, and even a little bit of crying. There's nothing I can pray right now that I haven't prayed over him already, and we've talked about it. And it's a new season, and this one thing, I've shared it, this is probably the third time, and I'm just going to leave it at that. But in the kingdom of God, in the world, people come and go. But in the kingdom of God, they're never gone. His work will remain, whether he's here or not. And I just ask God to bless him and Vicky and Becca, where they're going. God is full of surprises. You just never know with him. The only thing I do know is he loves us. Other than that, I just think I know. So, Jose, I just want to bless you, dude, and I love you. You're going to be missed, bro.
God, I just want to thank you for this time that we've spent with the Gutierrezes. Their family has been a total blessing on so many of us. And more importantly, I want to pray for the people of Idaho. Just prepare their hearts and their minds for what they're about to receive. They're about to receive the Gutierrez family, God.
God, I thank you for the hearts that Jose and Vicky have mended over the years. Jose has taught us that how women should be treated, how we're not a victim of our past, how we have to let go and move on. That we are princesses to the one and only God. Some of us are still learning that. And Vicky, with our women retreats, you help us remember that we are loved no matter what. So we thank you guys. We thank God for putting it in your plan, in your journey to be here, to mend our hearts so we could help mend others. I pray for Idaho. Because... for the broken hearts that are there. Yeah, just because. for the broken hearts that are there that are about to be mended by this amazing family. God, I thank you so much for mending their hearts in the past so that they could fix all of our broken ones. We know we're a wreck, and we thank you for that. Thank you.
I just wanted to say that this has been a mountaintop experience you're feeling right now. I think that's what the Lord's saying. This is joyous. It's been a hard journey to get here, but up at this part of the peak, it's been awesome. I think the Lord is taking you down now towards the valley, and he wants you to know he's bringing you to a place where people have been praying for you to come. You're not going because it's God's will for your prayers, but other people have been praying for you to come, and that's why God's sending you. And God just wants you to know there's going to be a season as you're going down, but God is going to take you to a mountain that is higher than this summit, that is going to be filled with greater things than you can imagine. So trust and hold on. And I just want to pray for Rebecca right now, God, in the name of Jesus, that her transition would be easy. Would you bring her wonderful friends and people to enjoy all the unique, beautiful things that you have put in her that are a direct effect of these two awesome, very different, unique parents. God bless this family. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, fill him to speak to us with some final words this season that will impart life to us. We open our ears, anoint them. God bless you, Jose.
It's been a month of many emotions, many feelings, many doubts, staying up night after night after night, wondering if we made the right decision, talking to people at breakfast, lunch, dinner. I think I gained at least 10 pounds in this month. You know, you people like to eat, and I think that's good. And you bless me with chocolate, which is always good because chocolate is from heaven. And so I was thinking about what I was going to say today, and you know, as you know me, sometimes I'm a guy that comes with an edge and will tell you the truth. And even though it's very difficult sometimes to hear or feel the reactions of people, it's still a place where I really believe I need to be. I'm a kind of guy that would love you, but won't mess around with you. You're going to know the good, you're going to know the bad, you know the ugly of me, basically. And I'm pretty wide open about that. There's been a whole bunch of questions. There's been a whole bunch of doubts. There's been a whole bunch of people coming up and going like this, you know, what am I going to do without you? Right? What happens now? And you know, oh my gosh, you know, the whole world's going to come to an end. And, you know, hopefully Jesus is going to come back before you go to Idaho. Right? I just want to tell you this today, okay? I know that you all have been touched by this ministry and me being here and stuff like that. But I want to tell you one thing. The first thing I want to say is this. Every time you have ever sat with me, whether it was 16 years ago when I sat in that chair right there where you're sitting and Carla Bolt was worshiping here. We came in here for the first time. And all of a sudden, I look at Vicky and Vicky was crying more than she was crying this morning. And then we decided to stay. Every time you sat down with me from that point on at different times, I would be a liar if I tell you that I had any wisdom for you. I'm not that good. And I want you to realize that today because I'm hoping that what I've shown you throughout the years is this, that this is not Ron's church. This is not Jose's church.
The reason why Grace Chapel Coast exists, it is because God has ordained this church to be here downtown Oceanside to serve a purpose to the community. And without Jose or without Ron, it will continue. It is not going to be one of those things that, oh my God, is going to be limping around. Yes, we have for a month. And I'm still limping. I don't know the reality of this yet until I get in my car tomorrow. And then I'm going to spend the night, as Jim Mumper said yesterday, somewhere in Eli, Nevada, whatever that is, at the Bates Motel. No, just kidding. I'd say that. Okay. So God has prepared you for a season like this, has prepared me for a season like this. It's sad. You know, 48 hours ago, I sat down in my house on my recliner. I went like this. Okay, Lord, you got 8 hours. No, I go, I'm lying. You got 10 hours. I give the Lord extra 2 hours. And I said, you know, what I want for somebody to call me and say this. Seriously, the God spoke to me and said not to go. So I didn't turn off my phone. It was well charged. So I get a phone call at 8 a.m. And I'm going like, yay. I'm going, this is it. And so it's Wendy Thomas. You all know Wendy. And she goes, where have you been? And I go, well, I've been sort of busy, Wendy. And so what you need? She goes, oh, you know, it's going to be so great in Idaho for you. I go, click. There was a guy by the name of Jeremiah. And this is my favorite. I think I preached this maybe here once, maybe twice throughout the years. And then I preach overseas this message. And I'm doing it not to, you know, not to honor the grief, not to honor the pain, not to honor what you guys have meant for me. It's never been a one-way street. It's always been a two-way street. And so, you know, as we go through the grief and the pain and whatever else it is, you know, we begin to think that we can say no to the Lord. And all of a sudden, the thing in the natural doesn't look very good. And all this sounds like the normal is not normal anymore. And this really weird thing begins to happen. And all of a sudden, we're not eating very well. Or we're eating, some of us, that love food. And all of a sudden, the reality of something hits. And then we go into this sort of like really weird sort of space. I know I've been in one this month. Probably all you have been that. And you wake up at 3 a.m. and you don't know what's going to happen. You know, this is a place where you have been. And I don't know what I'm going to do without all these things. And all of a sudden, what's normal sort of has to become a new normal. It will never be the same. And so imagine, though, that in Jeremiah's time, when he was about 13 years old, God just shows up in his life out of nowhere. Right? So anyway, So here's Jeremiah, 13 years old, and the Lord comes up to him, right, and begins to speak to him. And I think that God's speaking is going to speak to some of you this morning. It's way bigger than Jose, it's way bigger than Ron, it's way bigger than anything else. And you have to consider a couple of things. Number one, the Lord says, the first thing he says is, to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before the foundation of the earth, God knew you're going to be sitting in these chairs. Just take that as a reality. If you were crying today, guess what? You were supposed to be crying. God knew about your tears. All of creation, God said, let it be light, let it be animals, whatever else. When it came to man, it came to you, it says that in the Bible, that God took clay and began to form a person in his own image. So, check. Your eyes, your nose, your mouth, whatever you saw this morning you're complaining about, stop it. This perfection in God's sight. This is it. It's not a rehearsal. Whatever you see about yourself today is the perfect plan of God's for your life, including, sadly enough, me leaving. The second thing he says is, before you were born, I set you apart. See, you know you're going to be here. You know you're a Christian. What's my mistake? God's been leading all of us, number one, to salvation in a process of restoration for a moment like this. All of us. So if you have any doubt about what God's going to do in you and through you in this season, I would say, you know, I won't say get over it because I'm still in grief. I usually say that. Maybe I'll say it anyway. Right? But let's start to get over it a little bit. Let's cry, right? But also begin to move in the direction of God. Because if I did a bad job of showing that I was the king and he wasn't the king, I've done an incredible bad job. You understand that every time you sat with me, I was in so much fear because you put your life in my hands. And see, as I was speaking to you, which thought it was incredible, you guys thought it was incredible wisdom and incredible like experience, I was listening to the only one that can get this done, which is our Father in heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit that came time again and made ashes into eagles, basically. And then he goes to Jeremiah, I appointed you for something. In this case, Jeremiah was appointed as a prophet. So I have a question for you this morning. I don't care if you've been appointed to, you know, to continue counseling, help with the counseling department of this church. If you're going to continue to come here at 7 a.m. to set up chairs, going to continue to talk to one another. One of the greatest things that happened to me in this month is this. All of a sudden, there's been connections, even for me, that were not there before. People care for one another. They love one another. Okay? And God is beginning to rise in you what? What's always been there. My gift was to tap into it. That's the only gift I have. That what you didn't know about yourself, it became real in my office. And I said, no, you're worth something. You're valuable to me, you're valuable to this church, and you're valuable to God. But that's already inside of you. The minute you say yes to Jesus, guess what happened? The fullness of the kingdom of heaven, not only is inside of you, but it's upon you. You cannot miss the mark. And even when you make mistakes, all you have to do is turn, and the Father runs to you time and time again without any questions. And he just gives you this big embrace. And he doesn't punish you. He gives you a nice robe and a ring and sandals. And he throws a party for you. So then what I love about this is the only time that Jeremiah can speak, and he goes like this. Not me. Nope, not me. I'm only a child. So you got to look at your excuse this morning. You gotta look at what you're thinking that's an excuse for not continuing what God started in this church 20 years ago. And it has to be way bigger than me. Way bigger than me. There is incredible stuff that's going to happen in this church. There's incredible stuff that's going to happen Oceanside and the world because of you that's sitting in those chairs. Each one of you play a part. I don't care if you're doing youth, I don't care if you're cleaning bathrooms, I don't care. The whole point is that the reason you're sitting in this church is because God appointed you to this church. If not, you'll be going to another church. And he's going to give you everything you need to be able to create and continue what's been created here years ago. So what's your excuse? And I would write it down. I cannot do it. I'm not educated enough. Well, you know what? I'm not like Jose. Well, thank God you're the only one Jose in the world. You need to be yourself. You need to be the one that God groomed, the one that birthed and had his hands involved in your birth. You have to be the one that when you came out of the womb, God said, you're good. You're going to prosper. He's saying the same thing over this church. So, what I love about this part of the scripture is this. When God takes over again, as is Jeremiah, and I'm going to finish with that. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but I'm going to do this. He says, I will send you. Not you. I will send you, the Lord says. And listen, Grace Chapel, the coast, to this greatest statement, and I'm going to end with this. If you can open your hearts for a second, just to hear this from your Father in heaven. I believe this is the message. I believe that for 12 years, this has been the message under all of it. I will be with you, says the Lord. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's going to hold your hand in the moments of trouble. He's going to show you stuff that's today's unseen to you. He's going to give Ron, Kim, and the leadership of this church wisdom beyond anything you could ever imagine. Because he is going to be with you. Are we scared? Yes. Do we feel sad? Yes. He will work all of this, all of it, the good, the bad, and the ugly, for those who believe in him according to whose purposes? And I'm not going to tell you it's going to be a party, by the way. It might be difficult. It might be gut-wrenching. You are going to find all the sun next Sunday where I sit. I'm not going to be there anymore. But man, Dad in heaven is smiling over us. Because he knows what's going to happen. And guess what? I don't care how much guess you want to do, you don't. You can guess it. You can write it if you want. You know, only if you're a prophet, you might know. So take comfort that the only one can comfort you in this season is not Jose, is not Ron. People are going to help, but it is your dad in heaven that knows your heart, knows your pain. And he wants to say, I will comfort you. You've seen the Father through Jesus Christ. In many ways, some of you have seen the Father that don't have fathers through Jose. But it's way beyond that. It's difficult for us to leave. It'd be easier for me to stay. The last month, trust me when I tell you this. If someone gave me a pen about 2 months ago and said, hey, here, write this down, what God has really done, there's no way I can come up with 1% of it. That doesn't stop because I'm leaving. As a matter of fact, it will increase because I'm leaving. Because you're going to find a way to swim, and guess what? I'm not going to be there. You're going to have to swim in deep waters. I usually take you to the 3 feet. It's safe over there. And then we hang out. But you're going to have to swim in deep waters. And guess what? I have full confidence what God has done. I have full confidence that God will continue to do and that you're going to be swimming in deep waters and you're going to be able to just ace it. As a matter of fact, maybe this is a word or not, but I have the sense that God's going to take this church to so deep waters that when you come out of it, you're going to look and go like this, oh my gosh, only God can do this. I think that's it, maybe. Yeah. Oh my gosh.